This gospel reading, we hear the story of the meal that Jesus shared in the home of Simon the Pharisee, which is interrupted by a woman of great and questionable reputation. This story is found in all four gospels. Clearly, there is something about this story of mercy in the face of judgment that all early Christians saw as
faith. Who was speaking on evangelism at a college graduation in the Episcopal Church in the States. The Episcopal Church
One
is
of
the
Pharisees
of the Anglican Church
asked Jesus to eat
States.
With him, and he went into the Pharisee's house
and, it was
and
during
took
this
his place at the
kind
table.
Of, event.
And a woman in the city who was
he
a
had
sinner,
this fascinating conversation
having
with
learned
this young man
that
from
he
California,
was eating in the Pharisee's house,
who said that he
an
was
alabaster
skeptical
jar of ointment.
Of the likelihood
she stood behind
that
him
his
at his
church.
Feet.
Would get involved
weeping,
in evangelism.
And began to bathe his feet with her tears
much like
and to
many
dry
United
them with
Church
her hair.
People.
Then she continued kissing
like
his
even
feet
using
and anointing
the E word.
Them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee
because it
who had,
had
invited
all kinds
him
of connotations
saw it,
of,
he said to himself,
televangelists
if this man were a prophet,
people kind of trying to
he would
pull
have known
one over
who
on you.
And what kind
didn't
of
even
woman
want to
this
think about
is
it.
Who is touching
and
him,
his church being involved
that
in
she
it.
She is a sinner.
I have
Jesus
only evangelized one
him,
person
Simon,
in my whole life,
I have
he
something
said.
To say to you.
The preacher said, well, tell
Teacher,
me about
he
that.
Replied, speak.
Well,
a
I was
certain creditor had
on
two
a
debtors.
First date
one
with a woman.
500
things were going really
denarii,
well.
And the
conversation,
other 50,
nice dinner, everything
when they
was
could
just,
not pay,
just lovely.
He canceled the debts of both of them.
They were really connecting well.
Now which
the
of
evening
them
wore on
will love him more?
Eventually,
Simon
she
answered,
said, hey, it's getting late.
I suppose the one for
do you
whom
come
he
by
canceled
my place,
the greater debt.
Shall I come by yours?
And Jesus asked him, you have judged...
Well, the guy started...
Said to him, you have judged him rightly. Then turning
he wasn't sure
toward the woman, he
what
said
she
to
was
Simon,
suggesting, but he had
do
a
you
pretty
see this
good
woman?
Idea.
I entered your house.
And he was kind of speechless.
You gave me no water for my
he
feet.
He sputtered around about this and that. And finally, he said...
Tears. And dried them with
we
her
just
hair.
Can't get to know each other. This
you
is our first
gave
date.
Me no kiss.
I don't do
but
that.
But from
on
the time
first
I
date.
Came in, she has not stopped
well,
kissing
that'll
my feet.
Open up a whole new
you did not anoint my head with
area
oil,
of conversation.
But she has anointed my feet
in
with
which
ointment.
He had a really
therefore,
hard time
I tell you,
talking about
her
sexuality
sins, which were many,
and about what he
have
believed
been forgiven.
About sexuality and
hence,
about his values
she
and
has
his
shown
beliefs.
Great love.
It was really hard to
but
explain. He was still
he was
sputtering around until finally
him.
He could think
then
of nothing else to
her,
say. But,
your sins
well,
are forgiven.
I don't know. I'm an Episcopalian.
But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who
what's
is this?
That?
He even forgives sins.
Well,
and he said
it's
to
a
the
church.
Woman,
it's a kind of Christian.
Has saved you. Go in
well,
peace.
She didn't know the first thing about
soon
the church.
Afterwards, he went
very
on
little
through
about
the cities
the
and
faith.
The villages, proclaiming and bringing
never
the good
been in
news
a church
of the
in
kingdom
her life.
Of God.
So he told her a little bit
him,
about his church, and she
as
said,
well,
well can I go with
who
you
had
sometime?
Been cured of evil spirits and infirmities.
All right. So the
Mary
next Sunday,
Magdalene,
they went to church
from
together.
Whom seven demons
and to
had
his
gone out,
complete
and
amazement,
Joanna, the wife of Herod,
she
steward,
loved it.
Herod's steward.
She kept
Shusa,
coming week after week.
Susanna,
after about four or five weeks, she wanted to meet with the priest to see if she
resources.
Could take some kind of classes and become a part of this community.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
And this speaker that he was talking to said, so, is she still going to church? He said, oh yeah. She thinks she invented the Episcopalian church. She's there every time the door opens, loves it. She never fell in love with me, but she sure fell in love with Jesus. And then this guy said something really interesting. He said, I'm one of those cradle Episcopalians. I've been to church for as long as I can remember. Do you think that has something to do with why she is so excited about her faith? And I am so not excited? Have you ever noticed how sometimes the people who are new to the faith can be so excited ask some of the most penetrating questions. Questions that you sort of had figured out, at least you thought you'd figured out, a long time ago, and then when they're asked again, you go, whoa, wait a minute. What would I say about that? How they can be so annoying to old-timers in the faith. And sometimes people who have grown up in the faith can make you wonder why they bother. Whether it's just a habit, but what it really means anymore. This is gross overgeneralizations. But have you noticed how folks who have just discovered this way can be so excited? I have a Roman Catholic friend who is a cradle Roman Catholic. Lovely man, and excited about his faith, I can say. But he says, there's nothing worse than a convert. Not a great church growth strategy, I gotta tell you. It's just that they're so idealistic, these new folks. They take it all so seriously, like that's a bad thing. The freshness of newfound faith, rooted in gratitude for forgiveness and mercy so often, for unconditional love so often. Jesus is having dinner with Simon the Pharisee, a cradle Pharisee. Of course, he's a respected member of the community, and this is a respected rabbi. Of course they're having dinner together. This is the core faithful folk. And in slips a woman who had recently come in contact with Jesus. And we're not given her story, really. We're only really given her reputation, but not her story. We don't even know how she came in contact with Jesus and what happened. Only that she is a woman with a reputation, a sinner in everyone's eyes. So when she slips into this respectable gathering, respectable, large, theological, the ones who keep the faith going, and is sitting there behind Jesus, weeping at his feet, touching him, passionate in her gratitude for his simple acceptance of her. Simon is aghast. I mean, it's improper. It's unseemly. It's undignified. Does this rabbi not know how to be a proper rabbi in this community? This is not right. Doesn't he have any shame, any self-respect, any dignity? This is not the way we do things. But Jesus' response is firstly to briefly offer a parable about how significant it is to someone who has been judged so much and so often to be offered love so simply. How profound and life-changing it can be to be shown respect. A little patience, a little understanding, and unconditional regard. That's what got her on the path. What got her on the path of the way of Jesus with such passionate gratitude was the experience of being loved not just regardless of any mistakes, inadequacies, bad habits, but loved in the midst of them. She had become so identified in her community with the brokenness in her life that she had ceased to be a person with struggles and failings. But in her eyes and in the eyes of the community, she was her struggles and failings, completely identified with them. She was a failure, a sinner. When people looked at her, including good, faithful, cradle Jews like Simon, they saw the failures. They did not see a human being at all who had sinned, but they saw a lost cause. They might as well have said, "Jesus, don't bother. She's not worth it. We know her." Jesus says, "Simon, do you see this woman?" It's the most profound question in this whole story. Do you see this woman? Do you see this human being behind the years of struggle? Do you see this precious soul struggling for breath beneath the layer upon layer of stigma and judgment that has been laid on her? Can you see the soul at work behind the eyes? Can you see her humanity? Can you see her through the eyes of God's mercy? Any chance of that? When Jesus looks at her through the eyes of God's mercy, he sees a struggling, beautiful, broken human being. And to be looked at that way is to be forgiven, to be made new, to be shown mercy, to be given life again. That is the power that we have when we choose to look at another human being through the eyes of God's mercy. And when seen in that light, regarded in that way, her tears start to flow. We know about this. We know what it's like when someone looks at us and sees who we are in our heart and soul. Of course, the tears flow. Her tears, then, are tears of relief that finally someone can actually see her. Tears are the tears stored up over years of having to hold herself together when you are such an object of people's shame. Her tears are tears of regret for all the years that she has struggled and grappled with a community that could not or would not accept her. Her tears came pouring out because someone had not forgotten that she was a human soul, a child of God, a daughter of Abraham, as much in the line for God's love and mercy as the most faithful Pharisee, the most dyed-in-the-wool cradle Christian. It's a profound gift and blessing that we all live within. A potentially life-saving one. Today we celebrate a transition in the lives of young people who graduate from high school, heading out into the world. We pronounce the blessing upon the life of one child, Lucas, whose life is stretched out before him. And we can see the freshness, the new life. And we know that the world and life includes struggle and brokenness, mistakes, dead-end paths that you have to turn around and get yourself out of, hurts. And we hope that these people will be spared of those kinds of things, but we know better. None of us are. So in the midst of it, Just like Jesus in the midst of this woman's life, in the midst of it, this is our prayer. Oh God, Nicole, Addie, Lucas, in them we see and experience your goodness and your light. As they move forward in their lives, protect and uphold them, guide them, heal them when they are broken. Reach into their heart and stay there, that they will always know that you see them and love them, that you will never let them go, that they belong to you. Amen.